This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Coming up next on Plains FM is Find Your Bliss.
So welcome everybody to the Find Your Bliss show. You're here with Rebecca Davison, intuitive coach and mentor and founder of the Intuitive Life Academy. And I am so excited today to have the amazing Sarah Files with us. Now, curious story, I actually came across Sarah at Tony Robbins Business Mastery in Florida back in January now. Gosh, the time flies. And Sarah had an amazing intervention with Tony, but it was just so incredible to see Sarah stand up. And really, you know, when you're looking at a person and what they're looking to achieve, you don't really have any idea of their background or where they've come from to actually achieve that level of success. Now, we'll talk more about that in a moment, but I just really love to welcome you to the show initially, Sarah, before I tell everybody about what it is that you have actually created into your life and talk more about that. So welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great. So everybody, so you have a bit of background in regards to who Sarah is and what she does. Sarah's actually calling today from, what did you say it was?
It's Burnett, Texas.
Burnett, Texas.
Right, which outside is of Austin, Texas.
Right. So you're in the middle of the United States pretty much. But Sarah's actually the owner of Journey of Life Healthcare. I love that name. That is so awesome. So Journey of Life Home Health started in 2013. And then there was a Journey of Life Hospice in 2016 and Independent Senior Living in 2017. You have been busy. So Sarah, achieving her master's degree in occupational therapy at Texas Woman's University, Sarah's always been interested in helping in her community and making a difference. That's because she has a super big heart, right? After starting her companies from the ground up, Sarah's home health company has doubled in size each year. What an amazing achievement. Since 2015, with a current employee census of 92. That's a lot of people to be looking after, right? Both home health and hospice are Medicare certified and community health accreditation partners, which means that her companies are held to the higher state and federal regulation standards. That's an awesome achievement. So JOL Healthcare has been nominated for Kyle Chamber of Commerce Medium Business of the Year and Hayes County Excellent in Business Leadership 2 years consecutively. That is awesome. Congratulations, Sarah. She is currently building an independent senior living community called Chateau Bella. Love it. Which provides seniors a cruise ship experience on land. Don't we all want that? With independent senior cottages, activities, and state-of-the-art facilities with home health hospice on site to attend to every healthcare need. And Sarah, I know that you have, is it 3 children?
I do. Yeah. I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
So can you please begin to explain to us how on earth you have been able to do all that in such a short period of time? Like maybe, like A, let's start right at the beginning. Like how did you even get into that? Obviously, you've said there that you're interested in helping in the community, but how did you end up going, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to start Journey of Life in healthcare?
Well, I started as an occupational therapist, mm-hmm. and I was doing contract therapy on the side for home health companies, and I saw a huge need in the community for good health care. I would walk into a patient's home, and they would quite often say, well, my nurse took a blood pressure reading, and then she left, and I thought, there has to be a better way. I wonder if I can, you know, do it better. I've always known that I wanted to help people, and I wanted to have children. I just didn't realize I was going to do it all at one time.
Yeah, biting off a lot.
Yes. Awesome. And so I said, if the doors open, I'm going to walk through them. Mm-hmm. And the doors started opening. And I researched for 7 months how to start a home health company, mm-hmm. and continued, you know, going through the certification process. And every time I'd hit a hurdle, I would just face it, head on, and mm-hmm. I would just go over that hurdle, and Journey of Life was born. Wow. Back in 2013.
So tell me how does that work? Did you find a location, or did you build something, and if you did, you know, how did you go about that process?
So home health, the nurses and clinicians, like the physical therapists, occupational therapists, and speech therapists, go out to people's homes.
Right.
But I knew I needed an office, so mm-hmm. I went to our. In the community, and I looked for a place to rent so that we could have an office for our administrative team. And mm-hmm. so I actually subleased out of a imaging center,
oh, wow.
an X-ray center, mm-hmm. One little room with two desks. And that's how we really got started. And as we grew, we continued to move into bigger spaces. And now we're in three different locations. We're about to open a fourth location of administrative offices for home health and hospice.
Wow. So I would imagine that a lot of your success then comes down to the culture that you've created. I would say that that's a massive point of differentiation from having somebody come into a home and just take somebody's blood pressure. What is it that distinguishes you guys? What makes you different?
Absolutely. I think our culture is based on, you know, do the right thing, be a good person, mm-hmm. treat your patients as if they were your grandparents,
yeah.
and make sure you're always doing the right thing, because people can't watch you every step of the way. You're in these people's homes, sometimes just you and the patient. And so you really have to make sure that your employees are, you know, they're ethical and really, really do believe in that culture.
Mm-hmm. And to constantly be tuning into that, because I would imagine from your perspective, when you're interviewing somebody to be working for your business, you would really be wanting to make sure that they care, right? That would have to be a number one priority.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we always try to find people who have, you know, high energy, and that mm-hmm. they show they really want to make a difference and be in this company, not as a job, but as a career.
Sure. And it's really, I mean, like, it only really, I'm just trying to think when that kind of came to my awareness, but it was a few years ago now, like even understanding that there was such a thing as elder abuse, right? And that people not
Absolutely.
Being cared for properly, and how much of an epidemic that is, how dangerous that can be. So to be the people.
I know, it's really sad.
And obviously,
it is really sad.
Yeah, because I think also, too, that's one of people's biggest fear. If, you know, you've got children yourself, and then you've got elderly parents who are not well, to be in that space where to know that they're being looked after properly and getting proper care.
Absolutely. It's the number one priority. You know, these elderly patients that we take on, they took care of their children, you know, and, you know, they took care of us. And I think that's why I feel like I need to be the pioneer here to make sure that we're treating them as if they're, you know, VIP, very important people, mm-hmm. because they are. They
yeah.
did so much for us, and we need to give back to them instead of just putting them in, you know, institutionalized settings. It just doesn't, it's just not a good setup.
Yeah. So would you say, Sarah, personally speaking, that you like to spend time with older people? Like, there's always so much wisdom. I love spending time with older people because they're always so wise.
I do. They mm-hmm. are. They are so wise, and they can teach you so, so much. Mm. I feel like I've had so much wisdom bestowed upon me throughout my career with all of my seniors, because they're just so, they have so much to say, and they have so many experiences, and it's just so lovely to hear their stories.
Yeah. And I, what I love too is people usually love to share them too. So, yeah, going back into, you know, the evolution of your business, because you started the healthcare side of it and then hospice. Tell us about how that kind of evolved for you, because often with being an entrepreneur too, it's about taking a calculated risk. So tell us, you know, what that was like for you.
Absolutely. So we were seeing home health patients, and we were taking on a lot of the high acuity patients, the sicker patients that some of the other home health companies did not want to get involved with. And it's because I had very, very good nurses who had the skills mm-hmm. to be able to provide the high acuity, services. And so what I was noticing was some of these patients were really sick and they really could not get better. And home health is really about getting patients better, getting mm-hmm. them back to what they were doing previously before they got sick or injured. And so as they were having that decline in function, we noticed that we were sending them over to other hospice companies. And again, we were running into the same issues of the hospice companies not giving the best care. And I thought, I wonder if I can do it better again. And so I decided, well, let's try to do hospice and take care of as many people as possible. And they can stay with our company because they know that they can trust and, ensure that their family and the patient will get the best care. And so I started the hospice company. It took me about a year to get going. And the certification and accreditation processes are so long and so strenuous, but it's because the government is involved and they have to make sure that you really are doing what you say you're going mm-hmm, to do. And mm-hmm. so that's what we did. And we've been very blessed to be able to have a hospice company that looks at, alternative medicine and alternative ways of allowing the patient to live their last, days or weeks or months of life.
Wow.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. And that's, transition is such an amazing experience, right? To be in that space. It's kind of an honor and a privilege too.
It is. It is. Every patient that we go and see and every family that we have encounters with, we really do honor them and mm-hmm. We feel very grateful to be in their presence and to be able to educate them on what the transition is going to look like. And we want to make sure that they get the best care possible while they're dealing with, something that some people find very, very scary. Mm,
yeah, absolutely. And tell me how this has evolved through independent senior living in 2017.
Yes. So I was doing home health and hospice, and I started noticing people really weren't appropriate to be in their homes. And, they have dementia sometimes, or they have a quick decline in function. And I kept hearing, I don't want to go to the nursing home mm-hmm. and I don't want to mm-hmm. go to the institutionalized setting, but there's nowhere else that they can go. And around our area, a lot of the independent livings and the assisted livings are, fourplexes or apartment complexes or institutionalized, where it's one building and mm-hmm. two people share a room. And I thought, wow, these people are, I understand that their families sometimes can't take care of them because they're working and they have children and it's that sandwich generation, but we're putting them in settings that they don't really want to go in. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I wonder if we can financially be able to create a community where they can still live independently in their own space, mm-hmm. Where they don't have to leave, this mortgage to their children, where they have to sell it off, where, children quite often don't have time for that. And so we thought, well, let's make rental units where they're able to, where we can allow them to socialize with one another if they prefer. So there's the houses are their little cottages, and they face one another so that they can go out and drink a cup of coffee and wave to their neighbor.
Sure.
Or if they don't want to be social that day, they can go on the back patio where they won't have to see, their neighbor that day if they mm-hmm. prefer. Mm-hmm. We also will have an 8,000 square foot building with home health and hospice services on site. And then we'll have a commercial kitchen where there's a chef that will prepare the meals. We'll have an art studio and quilting room and business center and all of the wonderful things that, you would get on a cruise ship.
Wow, and that is incredible.
Yes.
That's so exciting.
We're very excited about that project.
Yeah, that is incredible. Okay, so there's a couple of things that stand out for me. One is that you identified a problem and then sought to find a solution, which is you know, a number one game for an entrepreneur, right? To go, I wonder how I can make this better, or I wonder how I can find the solution, which is awesome. I love that. But also too, connected to that, is you seem to have an amazing capacity for productivity. Like, how do you manage to do all this, Sarah? I'm just like sitting there going, this is almost insane, right? How do you set up this business? And then a few years later, it's evolved into hospice. And a few years later, it's, you know, it's mushroomed into Shadow Bella. I mean, like, and you have three children. Like, what do you, please talk to me about that.
Yes, I have the most amazing support system. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of people that I surround myself with. We call it stacking the deck.
Yeah.
We stack the deck and we have people that believe in the same mission and the same vision that I have, and that they want to be here and they want to help and they want to make a difference in this world. And that's what it's all about. My husband is my biggest supporter. Mm-hmm. He takes care of our three children while I'm at work and makes sure that the oldest gets to school and makes mm-hmm. sure that the youngest ones are, you know, learning and playing and having, you know, the best life too. And so it's all about, I write everything down.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And so it's just really supporting yourself with the believers and the people that will keep you motivated and keep you going. So that's what it's really all about.
Okay, so tell me about that though. So if you're an entrepreneur and you have been, you know, maybe you've been doing it alone in your own business and you want to grow, what would you say to that person about finding the right people to help grow your tribe, your mission, your business? You know, how did you know when you first started that this is the right person?
When I first started, I didn't mm-hmm. know that mm-hmm. it was the right person. In fact, it was a lot of trial and error. I remember saying, oh, are you a nurse? Okay, you're hired. And then come to find out, they were the wrong nurses. They did not know home health. They did not know what they were doing. Uh-huh. They did not believe in the same mission and the same vision. Mm-hmm. And it got me into a little bit of trouble at first. You have to be very, very careful mm-hmm. And really set out your expectations and what you're looking for in a person. You know, any entrepreneur, you have to be careful. You have to protect yourself and mm-hmm. you have to really make sure that, you know, when you hire someone, that you are asking all the hard questions and that you're asking, you know, all the right questions for you. And you also have to make sure that you follow all the employment regulations, which mm-hmm. is really, really difficult when you're first starting out because you're trying to manage everything. You've got all these balls in the air, trying to juggle everything. And the last thing you want to think about is, you know, making sure that your employees aren't going to sue you if you do something wrong. In fact, that's what happened to me. I mm-hmm. was actually sued very early on because I didn't have my documentation adequately set out. And so if I had any advice to give young entrepreneurs or new entrepreneurs, it's make sure when you are hiring someone, you know the employment law or mm-hmm. you have someone that knows the employment law because mm-hmm. it can really, really hurt you in the long run.
Wow. And so what did you learn from that experience? Because obviously, you know, you've transcended it. You're still in business. You're still here.
I did. I learned not to be so trusting. Mm-hmm. I learned that you don't cross the line with your employees. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be friendly, you mm-hmm. can be nice, but you don't become
buddies.
Friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it can be used against you. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's a hard lesson to learn. Yeah. I felt a great loss when all of that happened. Mm-hmm. But I learned so much from that, and I wouldn't change it because I know now not to do that.
Mm. So that sounds to me like you have a capacity for quite a lot of mental fortitude. Mm-hmm. Where do you think you? I mean, and I know right from being an entrepreneur myself that you develop that as you go along. But do you think that was a skill set that you had previously? Like, you know, it sounds like you had quite a lot of certainty.
You know, I didn't have it before I started. Mm. I really didn't. And I've learned so much about myself mm. and through the experience. I learned you know, on when I first started, it was hard. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how I was going to make payroll. Mm-hmm. You know, I listened to Tony Robbins and Simon Sinek and mm-hmm. Oprah Winfrey mm-hmm. and Jim Carrey and mm-hmm. Les Brown, all of these wonderful motivators, all of these wonderful people who taught me really how it was and to keep going and not to stop and to learn from my mistakes. And that's really how I learned and grew into the mm-hmm. person that I am.
Yeah. I love, you know, I love being in business because for me, Sarah, it's, you know, it's my spiritual practice because you show up, you have to show up to it every single day, you know, and I love the fact that Tony Robbins talked about that. So, yeah, that's probably a nice segue. What prompted you to go to Business Mastery?
I was actually talking with my CFO who happened to come with me to Business Mastery mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and we were talking about wanting to go to some entrepreneurial events. And so I started kind of researching and Tony Robbins popped right up and I saw, you know, UPW and I started looking into it more and I was originally going to go to UPW and then I saw Business Mastery and went, that's where we need to be. We need mm-hmm. to be at Business Mastery. And that's how it all started.
Yeah, pretty much the same was for me. Just for listeners, UPW is Unleash the Power Within, which is often the first step in the Tony Robbins Kool-Aid, you know, process, right? Because it's fun, right? And it is like that too, right? It's so much fun. Yes. It's high energy. There's a lot of lights and music and connections. And but again, you know, 2,500 entrepreneurs. It was incredible, wasn't it, Sarah? I'm sure you will attest to that. Old game changer.
It was amazing.
Yeah. So let's go into that because obviously, you know, what was it? Was it the second day? Was it the second day?
It was remember. The first day that we were there.
Wow. Okay, mm-hmm. cool. Wow. Drop the mic. So if anybody doesn't know, Sarah had kind of like an intervention, right, with Tony. Tony picked her out of the crowd and was like, you know, what's going on in your business? So please do share with us, Sarah, you know, what that experience was like for you and what unfolded so our listeners know.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I was picked and I promised myself if I was chosen that I would be honest. And he chose me and asked me what my business was about. And we got into my financial situation. Mm-hmm. And last year I had a 3.5% net profit margin. And he said, wow, that is not good. Yeah. And I said, it's because I'm overstaffed. And we talked about the mm-hmm. staffing mm-hmm. Issues and my inability or lack of enthusiasm to fire people.
Sure.
And that's what we got into it. And I realized that I was really mothering my employees mm-hmm. and I needed to bring out that powerful entrepreneur inside of me and realize that I was doing nobody justice. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't allowing people, you know, that wanted to be here to be here. And the ones that didn't want to be here should have been gone. And mm-hmm. so, he made me promise that I would fire two people in my company when I got back. And that's what it was all about.
Mm-hmm. And I take it you've done that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I know too, right? Because for a woman entrepreneur, you know, because what really landed for me was that the idea of letting go of a couple of people for the greater good, right? Like, you know, a couple mm-hmm. of people in your business is actually putting everybody else at risk. You know, that's what really landed for me from that conversation. It was like, whoa, you know, you're kind of looking at it from the wrong perspective of going, wanting to kind of make sure that maybe holding on to these two people, but then absolutely everybody else, it becomes wobbly. And also,
you know,
go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say when I did that, the difference in the culture mm-hmm. was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Everybody just became so positive and everybody was just, you know, motivated again. And it just really changed the energy in my company when I did that. And so I was really, really happy.
Yay. Because, you know, coming from like the more intuitive spiritual background, I would say as within, so without, right? Like when you have the energy lined up within yourself, then it flows into everything else in your world. So I totally love that. That's, you know, that's bang on, right? So, yes. And again, I know that that intervention, though, had a massive impact on you personally, because tell us what else has evolved from that.
Well, I came back and I had 300 friends on Facebook, and I now have over 3,000 friends.
Yeah. I love it. That is so cool.
Yeah. But I have so many people reaching out to me and just, you know, telling me how wonderful that experience was for them. And then I realized I really was just a vessel for Tony Robbins. He was speaking to everyone in that room through me.
Sure.
And I felt very grateful that I was that person that he chose to do that, because I think we changed a lot of people's lives in that room. And I since have created a YouTube video called Billion Dollar Sarah.
Yay.
One of the things that I want to do is I want to inspire people to get out of their own way and to become everything that they want to be, whether it be entrepreneur or whether it be to get that, you know, that job that they've always wanted. I really want to inspire people that they can do anything that they want to do. Through my journey and through other people's journey. So I'll be interviewing and getting little nuggets of inspiration from other people to, you know, to put on my YouTube video for people to watch.
Yay. And, you know, that's totally my scene. I love that, right? Because that's what it's all about, right? When we share information, share inspiration, lift each other up, you know, this is how we really change the world. So it's obviously had a huge impact on you. The one thing that I would really like to talk to a little bit as well was kind of watching Tony take you through a state change, because he kind of asked another part of you to kind of step forward, because initially there really was that feeling of like maybe being a little bit of a people pleaser. And I think this is really important for women, right? Because when we're in business, women often, you know, we want everybody to be happy, right? We want everybody to feel good. And, you know, we want people to like us, right? And then there's this other element of, well, how do I reconcile that that's actually maybe not good business? And it was really fascinating to watch you kind of go from maybe more of that energy into more of this, I'm a confident, wise, intelligent businesswoman, and I'm going to move into this place more physically to be able to create this change. It was kind of fascinating to see that just happen within that conversation with Tony. Tell us how that felt for you.
It was unreal. It was like an out-of-body experience.
Oh, wow.
He was in my face, you know, saying, like, if you do not bring that powerful entrepreneurial woman out, you will lose your business. And that was a little bit scary, but it was also like, I know she's in there. I can do this. I can do this. And it's hard for a woman. I do want everyone to be happy and to love coming to work every day and to you know, be passionate within themselves. And I'm just not able to do that. You know, Tony said it's a privilege to be able to work for his company. And I feel like, you know, that should be the way that it is here too. But in order for that to happen, I have to bring out that powerful entrepreneurial woman and set aside pleasing everyone in the business, because it's hurting me, it's hurting the business, and it's hurting the people that, you know, are taking advantage of that. So,
yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, there's so much in that as well. And obviously, you know, from the awards that and the recognition that you've had in regards to the Kyle Chamber of Commerce, et cetera, and the Hayes County Excellent in Business Leadership, I mean, obviously what you're doing it well, because it's being received by other people and recognized. So, and again, to get to that place where you realize that, you know, it is a power proposition, right? To go, you know, I want you to work for my business, as opposed to like, it's a privilege to work for my business. That's a very different.
Yeah.
And again, it changes the culture, changes the outcome, changes the energy. That's incredible. So tell us a little bit more about Billion Dollar Sarah, because when I saw your Facebook page and your, you know, I was just like, oh, I love this, because this is another big thing for women, right? To be like, you know what? I want to be rich. And I, you know, and this is kind of like a taboo subject. So I hope you're all good with talking about this with me. I'm making the assumption.
I would love to talk about this, because I have so many people that are behind me, but I also have people that are saying, you know, this is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be posting things like this.
Uh-huh.
But here's my thought. And, you know, Muhammad Ali said, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that scared me was becoming a billionaire.
Wow.
But I just wanted to see if I could do it. I don't need $1 billion. I don't even need millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But I want to see if my soul, my energy can create a $1 billion company or even for myself to become a billionaire. That's what Billion Dollar Sarah is all about. Mm-hmm. It really has nothing to do with the actual billion becoming a billionaire because I'll give all the money back.
Sure, exactly.
To lots of people, and I'll be able to help so many people. But it's the idea of, I wonder if I can do it. I wonder if I can be that powerful and that, you know, it's all for, you know, myself. It's all to see if I am and have the ability to do that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get that. And I totally love it too, because I totally agree that most people I see, they have dreams, but they're nothing compared to what's possible, right? They often limit themselves, and even when it comes to a dream. And then, of course, if it's too big, they kind of feel like, well, it's too far away, or I can't achieve it, or I wouldn't even know where to start, or, you know, it paralyzes them. They don't even take action on it. But I totally hear what you're saying, because it is totally about what person would I become to be able to hold that energetic frequency? Because I see money as energy, right? So it's
absolutely
all about the journey of who is it possible for me to become? And if you're in that space, like you said, you'd be able to give at such an amazing capacity. The level of fulfillment would just be off the charts to be able to, you know, say, I've created this, and then I can give back at this super high level. And I totally hear what you're saying. Like, it, you don't need to see the money in a bank account, but you, the desire is for, who is this person that I'm choosing to become? So tell us more about that, because I loved your video. Because what are you sitting in at the front of the video? Is it some Maseratis or?
Thank you. No, it's, I actually have a Tesla. It's a Tesla Model X.
Wow.
And what's funny about the Tesla, it's actually a symbol for me. About 3 years ago, I saw the first Tesla and I wanted one so badly. I thought, I have to have a Tesla. I want a Tesla so badly. They're so cool. So I would go up to the dealership and I would sit in the Tesla and I would drive the Tesla and I would look at the Tesla. I think I've been to the Tesla dealership at least 10 times.
It's nice. They know you
they
by
knew
name.
Me by name. They did. And every time I would drive by a Tesla on the road, I would say, Tesla, thank you, God.
Yeah.
Tesla, thank you, God.
Nice.
And my sister actually said, Sarah, you're crazy. You're really crazy. And I said, no, I'm going to get a Tesla. And 3 years later, I was able to afford a Tesla.
Wow.
And the best part is my license plate says TNKUGOD. Thank you, God.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That is so good. Oh, that is brilliant. I love manifesting stories like that. It just rocks my world. Because again, it's like through your connection with Source, all things are possible. And if you ask and you're prepared to show up and take action steps, you know, because you went to the Tesla dealership 10 times, right? So, yeah, I love that. That is so cool. Because then again, it puts you in a certain energetic vibration. And then it's like, well, what else is possible? Right? We continue to keep on expanding and going, okay, this is what it's going to look like. So, Sarah, tell us what the, you know, the businesses have been able to afford for your family. Do you manage to get the balance right with feeling like you've spent time with your children and taking vacations and stuff like that? Do you have good kind of boundaries around that stuff?
I do have a good work-life balance. In fact, I make it a point to leave early on certain days to make sure that I'm home with the family. I have, the business has been able to afford me a beautiful home. It's nothing extravagant. It's perfect for myself and my family. We live on 10 acres, so I have 4 goats and 20 chickens and bees. I'm a beekeeper also.
I love it. That is amazing, because it's so important to be connected to the earth, right?
It is. It's so, I just love it. I love being a beekeeper and I love my farm animals. It's so much fun. And the kids are really learning a lot through taking care of these animals and having to, you know, clean their stalls and things like that. I'm so lucky and grateful I get to live this life. I really am.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm just so happy. Yeah. So gratitude is a huge component too, right, of being able to create what it is that we want. So I would love to pick your brains just a little bit more about women, money, and desire. Because I think often, right, that it's more worldwide, it's more kind of acceptable for guys to have that desire, right? To go, I want to be wealthy, I want to create wealth, I want to be in that zone of creation, I want to be able to have the freedom to go do this or to buy this car or to buy this home, etc. Let's, you know, what would you say to other female entrepreneurs? Because I think, you know, there's always this desire, but I love that you shared too that, you know, you've had some pushback. Because money, I help people with money in my work, right? But people get activated when it comes to money. Like, it activates their ego like nothing else.
I think it's just such a negative stereotype. And I think for so long, there's been this perception around money. Like, you shouldn't be wealthy. That's a bad thing. And to be honest with you, I think as long as you don't listen to the negativity and you don't put yourself in that state, anything is possible. And the people that want you to be successful and that don't care about you saying that you want to be rich, you know, those are the people that you should hang around with and that you should surround yourself with, because those are going to be your positive supporters, so to speak. You know, Oprah Winfrey said that a lot of people, she was talking about money, and she said, you know, a lot of her friends would go, oh, she's so full of herself. And she took it as a positive thing, you know, and she said, well, I have to be full of myself in order to be able to provide for other people, you know, and so surrounding yourself with people that don't believe in such a negative way and believe that money is a bad thing is really, really important. Important to achieving your dreams, really.
Yeah. I mean, that's why for me personally, I go to events like Tony Robbins, right? Because everybody's super high energy, they're creative, they're quite happy about wanting to be a millionaire, multi-millionaire, billionaire, you know, like they're in the energy of, yes, I'm going to choose that for myself because it's going to be an amazing journey. And you know, the kindness that was at that event too, the willingness to connect and be with other people, right? It was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's so true. And you can really get pulled down by those naysayers and the negative energies of, you know, of people saying, you know, that money is a bad thing, because it's really not. Money actually just affords you more decision making.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
That's what money really is.
I loved watching. I watched an interview between Sarah Blakely, you know, from Spanx, and Lewis House, and she was amazing, right? Because she's a billionaire, and she talked about that money is a magnifier. So if you're a jerk, you become more of a jerk. And if you're an awesome person, you just become more of an awesome person. And this is the thing, though, right?
That.
Yeah, it's right. Because money is impartial. It doesn't have an opinion or an agenda. We are the ones who are projecting our stuff onto it. And, you know, I've seen a lot of that. I used to work in banking, Sarah, so I don't know that you know that. But, yeah, it was fascinating to see.
I love that. It's so true.
Fascinating to see what people made it mean. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about your plans for the future. So Chateau Bella, that sounds like quite a mammoth undertaking.
It is. There'll be 122 cottages on site.
Oh my
with
goodness.
An 8,000 square foot.
Holy cow.
It's going to be humongous. It's about a $20 million project.
Wow.
And we're currently seeking investors for this project. And once we get it off the ground and fully operational, our plan is to actually put them all over the United States.
Yeah.
And possibly overseas. because it's such a great system for seniors, and mm-hmm. there's nothing like it out there right now.
Awesome. I'm just kind of, you know, because always I'm feeling into stuff intuitively, but this again comes back down to not just the model that you have, but again, the culture, right? Because for something like that to be sustainable, you have to have the right energy in place and have everybody in alignment with the right energy for it to grow and flourish. So that is, right. That's amazing. Well, I trust that you see that as a compliment to yourself, because you're the bringer of the energy. You're the one saying it needs to be in this vibration, or this is the level of care, this is the level of respect, this is how we're going to adhere to this to be able to create what it is that's going to get this amazing outcome.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why we call it a cruise ship on yeah. land. It's all about hospitality, uh-huh. making sure that everybody feels like they are a very important person, from just making sure that you have eye contact with every single mm-hmm. resident, mm-hmm. making sure that they know that you care for them. And that is what every single employee will have to, it's hospitality. It's mm-hmm. making sure that these people feel like they are just number one.
Yay. I've heard that before too, actually, Sarah, that, you know, I heard for a wee while that older people were actually taking a lot of cruises because everything was there. They had their entertainment, they had their food, mm-hmm. they even had, you know, a doctor on board if they needed that. And it was actually often cheaper than living at home.
It absolutely is. I actually saw quite a few media on Facebook was that, you know, that seniors were taking cruises, and, mm-hmm. and you're absolutely right. And they shouldn't have to go on the water to enjoy that experience.
Exactly. So this is incredible. And it sounds amazing. Like, it sounds like a place that I would love to come visit, because it sounds, you know, the energy feels good and your intention is great and how it's going to be set up so they can have that connection, or they can have their own sense of privacy as well.
Yes, yeah. That's wonderful. I'm wow. excited about it.
How many people do you have helping you out with this? Because this sounds massive. I mean, like, I can't even begin to imagine.
Well, there's quite a few. I have an architectural group, mm-hmm. Engineering group, mm-hmm. You know, the general contracting group, construction people. I have my CFO. I have my COO, who is also my CFO. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I have quite a few people just, you know, working on it for me, which is amazing.
Okay. And so whereabouts will it be in location to where you are?
So it will be in Kyle, Texas, which mm-hmm. is in between Austin, Texas and mm-hmm. San Antonio, mm-hmm. Texas. And it's just right along the I-35 corridor. It's about mm-hmm. a mile off, which is wonderful mm-hmm. Because it's really close to a lot of shopping and mm-hmm. right down the street from an assisted living and memory care facility that is just absolutely wonderful. They take such good care of their residents as well. And so if there was a memory deficit where they could not stay in the mm-hmm. active senior living cottages, they could just go right down the street.
Perfect. Wow. Clever lady. And I have no doubt if you're in a space where you're going to be, you know, creating these all across the United States, then you'll definitely become a billionaire.
Absolutely. That's the idea.
Yeah. So, but the point being is you have a plan, right? It's not just yes. a nice thought process. It's like, I have a plan in regards to how I'm going to create this.
You always need a plan. You yeah. work your plan and you plan your work, and that's how you can make your dreams come true.
Cool. And I no doubt from, you know, meeting with all the Tony Robbins peoples who attended Business Mastery, you know, that's probably put you in an amazing position to be able to create the investors, right?
We have, yes, from yeah. Business Mastery, I am so happy to say we have so many people reaching out to me for to be investors on this project. So it's yeah. just, I feel so very grateful for that. And I know that I was put there in that time-space reality for a reason. Uh-huh. And I think it's just, it's incredible uh-huh. what's transpired since that time.
Okay, so I have just one other question for you, Sarah, unless there's anything else you'd like to share, but would you say that your intuition has been a big part of this process in regards to following the energy and taking the next step forward?
I absolutely do. You definitely have to listen to your gut. You know, I had a premonition that Tony Robbins was actually going to call me before
really?
I went.
Really?
I did.
Oh, my goodness.
I actually told the Tony Robbins mentor that was assigned to me in Business Mastery that if I was chosen, that I didn't want to cry. And I was telling people I was going to get chosen. And then I did. And it was just an incredible experience. It's so important to listen to your gut and to go with, you know, what you truly believe. And even if it's the wrong thing, it's the right thing because it'll lead you to something else.
Wow, that is so cool. So, Sarah, tell us if people are, you know, if they have a family member and they're interested in what you're creating, is there a website that they can go to kind of find out more information?
Yes, we have a website, KyleChateauBella.com. Mm-hmm. We also have our main website is JOLHC.com. Mm-hmm. And that talks about home health, hospice, and Chateau Bella.
Awesome. And is there any other things that you would like to share? Like I know you've done and achieved so much, but from your wisdom and your, you know, if you could put it all into a nutshell, I know you did it beautifully in regards to what Muhammad Ali said, but is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners?
I think everyone should know that we are putting up videos on YouTube every Tuesday and Saturday, mm-hmm. and that hopefully they will get something out of each video. Even if it's just a little nugget, just to inspire them and help them along the way. That is what I'm hoping for.
Cool. We have a little more time. So let me just check in. What is your intention with that? Like, where do you anticipate that that is going to go? Is that just something that you want to run alongside, or is that something that you intend to maybe create into another business?
I really do just want to see kind of where it will go. I don't really have any financial intentions for the YouTube video. Mm-hmm. It really just is to inspire people and to make a difference in this world, mm-hmm. on a more broad level. You know, I'm helping everyone here in my community, mm-hmm. but YouTube is really for trying to reach people on a global level where I can reach people from overseas, you know, and just if I can help them, I feel like I'm a connector. And so if I can, mm-hmm. connect people to other people to inspire them or to help them, you know, get something out of their life, then I absolutely want to do that.
And I have a question in regards to your the people, you know, like your patients, clients. Have they, mm-hmm. seen any of your videos? Have you had any feedback from them?
I have not. Unfortunately, I'm unable to see a whole lot of patients these days because, mm-hmm. I'm really on top of the business. Mm-hmm. And so I have not heard of any of my previous patients watching my YouTube videos, but that would be quite interesting to see what their feedback would be.
And what about staff members or colleagues, et cetera?
Yes. So my staff members have been so supportive. They're so excited to see the next one come, mm-hmm. out.
Cool.
They're so wonderful and they all really do care and, you know, want to see what happens with our company and with the growth of myself and of everything that I'm working on. So,
yeah, because as a change maker, right, like to be in a tribe with a change maker, it's pretty incredible to be that person who's prepared to go, you know, I'm, you know, literally changing the world out there, and to be connected with somebody who's positive and enthusiastic and is like rooting for you, you know, as the leader, rooting for everybody in the tribe to experience the fullness of who they are as well. That's incredible to connect with. I can see your vision, Sarah. I love it, you know, to have all these places.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you know, like, and again, the vibration of it, like what it is that you want to, what your intention is, because energy, as you know, is everything, right? Got to bring the energy to be able to create it. Tell me about that. And again, we've got about 5 minutes or so remaining, but tell me about your daily practice, right? What are you doing in the mornings from what you learned at Tony Robbins? Is there something that you do every day to kind of put yourself in a good space?
Yes, I wake up every morning and I meditate for, mm-hmm. about 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and just to get clarity for the day. And then I go into the day and work really, really hard and fast sometimes. And Then I go home and spend time with my children, and we often have, well, we just started this since I've been back, but we have Tony Robbins dance parties upstairs in the playroom.
Oh, nice.
And
I love it.
My 1-year-old and 4-year-old and 6-year-old, they just love to dance to all the songs from Tony Robbins because mm-hmm. they're very upbeat and exciting. And so we go up there and have a dance party, and, you know, physical activity is so important. Mm-hmm. And then at night, I like to kind of rest and go through the sleep guided meditation. It really does center me mm-hmm. so I can have a good night's sleep. So I turn my mind off at night.
Wonderful.
And that's really my routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I would imagine that you would have to be pretty organized, or are you just amazing at productivity?
I think it's a little of both. I can sometimes be unorganized. Yeah. I'd like to say that I'm fairly organized. Mm-hmm. You know, if I write things down and I have, you know, a book of everything that I need to get done, I can ensure that it will get done. But if I'm trying to keep everything in my head, it just does not work, and it feels very chaotic and yeah. unmanageable.
So you keep mm-hmm. a pen and paper next to your bed? Because you know how, like, sometimes, yeah, you wake up in the middle of the night and you just got to get it out to know that it's going to get done. Yeah.
Yes. I awesome. Do have a notebook by my bed for mm-hmm. sure. And I take it everywhere with me.
Yeah. So. Well, congratulations on your success so far, Sarah, because, you know, it's great that you've been acknowledged like that by the outside world. And congratulations for what's yet to come. I know it's going to be massive. I will definitely be following you in regards to Billion Dollar Sarah. And I do hope we can continue to have this conversation, you know, maybe further on down the track to see how things are unfolding for you. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us? What's your pearl of wisdom that we can take away? Like, what's a couple of things you think it's really important for people to know, especially in the realm of being an entrepreneur?
I think the pearl of wisdom for me is to keep going no matter what. Mm-hmm. If you are unsure of yourself in a moment, it will pass. You just have to keep going. And if it helps to listen to, you know, the radio, or it helps to listen to motivational speeches, just keep going. Do not give up mm-hmm. because the second you give up, then you give yourself that opportunity to go, did I make the right decision? You know, and possibly have regrets. So that's my pearl of wisdom. Mm-hmm. I want to ask everybody to subscribe to my YouTube mm-hmm. channel, Billion Dollar Sarah. That would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. I would love everybody to get on there and follow. Subscribe to my channel.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to YouTube and Billion Dollar Sarah. But we'll post links under the
page. Yeah. I have Billion Dollar Sarah as well.
Okay, cool. I'm pretty sure I've liked that already, and I've seen your YouTube video. So are we double checking to make sure I'm subscribed? And you're sending out videos every Tuesday and Saturday.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't even understand how you can include all that as well. I'm just like, wow, this woman's on fire. It is. Do you have somebody shooting the videos for you? Do they follow you around and just, you know? Because I saw it's more lifestyle, isn't it, rather than your actual business as such.
That's right. It's really just a lot of fun. Yeah. I have my CFO, it just loves to do YouTube.
Oh,
and
cool.
So it's been a hobby for his for a really long time.
Oh,
and so
perfect.
Now we're just including myself in the videos.
Yay.
instead
oh,
of him doing
it.
Them on his own.
That's perfect. I love it. Well, congratulations, Sarah. It's so wonderful to connect with you. Thank you so much for taking the time, and many, many blessings to you on your journey. And it's so great to connect with you and to see that amazing experience and how it's changed your life at Tony Robbins. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it so much.
Okay. All right, folks, that was the amazing Sarah Files. You're listening to the Find Your Bliss Show, and we will be back again next week at Thursday at 9 a.m. here on Plains FM. Bye for now.